And so it's good to be back with you guys this evening. What I want to do is, okay, kids, we got something for you, something really nice that you're going to like, but it's going to require you guys to earn it.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about a principle, okay? And this is a principle, okay? And this is what it is. When you put a seed in the ground, what happens? Yes, Kingston? It grows. Now, let me ask you, does a seed grow?
Yeah?
The stuff inside the seed, right, right. So, if you say it again, champ? It opens up, right? And some, yes, Naya?
When you water it, it gets bigger.
And when you water it, okay. So, let me ask you guys, okay, so there's something inside of the seed, right? Now, and that thing that's inside comes out, right? And it grows. What does it become?
A tree.
Or a flower. A plant in general. Okay, we're going to need some help here. Okay. You got it. Okay, hold on to that. Okay. What's his name?
Joel.
How do you spell it?
Aunt.
Joel, okay. Go ahead, Natalie.
And carrots.
And carrots. All right, cool. Right on. Okay, Joel was saying something, and I couldn't quite pick it up. Oh, you said it becomes something. It was either...
Oh, it has to become a fruit? No, not... I mean, it has to become a plant because it can't... You can't tell if it's going to become a tree or a flower because if it's going... It has to be a plant. It grows into a plant, then it goes into the tree or the flower, depending on what it is.
Okay, depending on what it is. Okay, and I think we all got an idea. So now if we look at all these seeds we have right here in front of us, what is in them? What is going to come out of them? Okay, so what was that, Kingston? I mean, champ, what's going to, huh? Heart and ribs inside of you, okay. What else inside of you? Joel, what's inside of you? A brain? What else is inside of you? Yes, Natalie? Huh? Kidneys, okay. Naya? Okay, we'll come back. Kingston?
Organs.
Okay, Joel? Huh? Esophagus?
Yeah.
Diaphragm is there, right. Okay, you're on your way, fellow. Okay, Isaiah? Isaiah said a soul. So, let's ask your son, what do you mean by a soul? Something inside of you that helps you go to heaven. Okay? Yes, I am. Yes.
A spirit.
Okay. Yes, Jerrell. The Holy Ghost. All right. Yes, Natalie.
A heart.
Okay. Kingston. Okay.
So this isn't actually our normal body. God just put us in this body so we can be on earth, but we're actually a spirit. And when we go to heaven, we won't have our normal body. We'll be flowing in our spirit.
Wait. Give it, champ. Speak into the mic, champ. And then, Naya, then you can go.
Me and Kingston call it a tight suit.
Call it a tight suit?
It's like a suit.
Okay, Naya.
Boys have one extra rib than girls do.
Boys have one extra rib. Okay. All right. Okay. So here's the thing. We know they realize that something's inside of them. Now, your job, parents, is to really discover what their gifts, their talents, what those things are that's inside of them. Right? So what are some of the things that you guys like to do? Do you guys remember, I know, Joel, you weren't here, but what was your core values? What were some of the things you talked about in your family? You guys remember that? Go ahead, Kingston. You talked about being a chef and a comedian. Okay, Naya.
There it is. Here it is. I talked about being a doctor because I like to help people.
Being a doctor because she likes to help people. All right.
We talked about being an engineer.
You being an engineer.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do as an engineer?
Make things.
What things are you going to make?
Robots.
All right, cool. Okay, Natalie has something to say, and then we'll go with Joelle. Then I got another question. I'll hand it to Natalie.
talking about being a ballerina, a doctor, and a teacher.
A ballerina, actor, and a teacher? Oh, a doctor. A actor or a doctor? A doctor and a teacher. All right, cool. You're going to be busy. Okay, Joelle, hand it to Joelle. She's a busy bee, yes?
Even though I wasn't here, I have talked to my parents about becoming a game designer.
A game designer?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, awesome. That's cool. Okay. Isaiah, the other way. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be a church drummer.
A church drummer?
Yeah, for the church.
My man. Okay, amen. We're going to make sure there's a space for you. Parents, can you turn, please, to Genesis 18? Genesis 18, 18. And now, here's the thing. One of the things that we, within a church that we often do, we often, you know, highlight the pastors, the preachers, the apostle prophets, you know, he's going to be on stage. And or if you're growing up Catholic, you know, my son's going to be a priest. But most people are not called to ministry. Most people are called to the marketplace. You know, they're called to do some great and wonderful things. Yes, Naya? You like my shoes? Thank you. All right. A little fashionista there. Amen. Amen. So pay attention to what gets their attention, because what gets their attention is going to get them. And some of you might say, well, is she shallow? No, maybe she's going to be a buyer for Nordstrom's. They don't want a discount, huh? Hook your mama up. Okay. But no, really, that's how you got to look at things. And because often don't see it through your lens. And you want to do it prayerfully. Okay. Somebody want to read, please, Genesis? Or LaBelle, you putting it up or what are we doing? Genesis 18. Did I say 18? 18, 18, and 19. Genesis 18, verses 18 to 19. Now, you guys remember, give me a backstory on this. So God chose Abraham. And yet, well, one of the things I want you guys to look at, when you're reading the Bible, when you're reading a story, read it slowly. Often, like, when you guys come and we're going through some counseling or just talking, and I say, turn to this, and you guys are like, for Abraham, a son, to become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth to be blessed through him. Slow down. Pay attention to what's in there. Everything is in there for a reason, okay? For Abraham will certainly become, he will become. That means he's not. You see that? He's not yet. He will become a great and mighty nation. So God sees the end of something from the beginning. So now, how does this apply to your children? He already knows what they're going to become. Does it make sense? Careers, yes. Okay. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. So how is God thinking? Does God think just local, you know, local boy does good? God thinks global. Big picture. We get hung up on ethnicity. We get hung up on geopolitical boundaries. We have to begin to think bigger like God does. Now, scripture clearly says in Isaiah 55, his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But it doesn't mean we can't think like him or our ways can't become his ways. We just got to step our game up. Now, I'm not saying none of us are gods or anything like that, but we need to begin to think like he thinks. Okay. Next scripture, please. And watch this, okay? I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised. Let's read that again. I singled him out. Yes? You got to read it right there? Okay, go for it. Yeah, go for it, Evie. Thank you.
I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised.
Awesome. Thank you, Evie. Amen. Amen. I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord. So what is our job? We can see from this principle. Now, let me give you some more background on Abraham so you can understand the significance of this, okay? Because the earth was kind of in chaos. They had all these people scattered. You know, this was after the flood when the earth is beginning to be repopulated, after Noah, okay? And God pulls Abraham, and he does a great work. But I want you to look at what he's saying, what the assignment on Abraham. It's not just go and do what I'm telling you to do. God is already thinking generationally. And we have to think about that, too. So we have to think long term. So he says, I've singled him out so that he would direct his sons. Let me have another translation, LaBelle. Let's try Amplified so I can really bring this home to you guys, okay? For I have known means chosen, acknowledge him, Abraham, as my own. Okay? So that he may do what? In fact, come on, you want to read that, Evie? Wait, here comes the mic.
For I have known, chosen, acknowledged him as my own, so that he may teach and command his children and the sons of his house after him to keep the way of the Lord and to do what is just, righteous, so that the Lord may bring Abraham what he has promised him.
Good job. Good job. Amen. So now I want you guys to see that we need to be teaching our children, okay, and the sons, those in our house, to keep the way of the Lord. Keep the way of the Lord. We need to teach them to keep the way of the Lord. So we're going to look at their careers and what they were created to do, but you also, too, have to teach them what is right. You have to. Now, Scripture tells us in Proverbs, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him or her. Amen. Amen. Okay, I don't care what psychiatrists and everybody else say, okay? I think we got a problem with this generation right now, because if they just put on a jersey, they get a trophy. If they just, you know, it's just we a little different now. And okay, hallelujah. And we just, And so then our kids don't understand work. And anyway, here we go. We need to command them. It's a commanding. We have to command them, direct them. Did everybody get that? This is what God expects of us. Now, so when he really began to bring the Jewish nation in, which he was going to usher in Jesus Christ, we got to look how, at how things start. If you want to understand the purpose of something, just go back and look at the original intention of the manufacturer. What did he intend to do? And this is it here. And often, now see, here's the problem that we also run into. Now, I need you guys to go to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11, 18. And we're going to read the verse 21. Let's go New Living Translation on this one, Lavelle. Okay? Evie, you ready? He'd be like, what, all night? Yeah. You can do this. We believe in you. Okay?
So commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders.
Okay, now he's talking to the parents right here. So now here's part of our problem. We're not that committed. We're not. We're committed to us, committed to what we want. And we got to remember, when you get married and you start having children, it ain't about you anymore. It's not. And so here he says, so commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Now for us, we're committed to our feelings. We're committed to our preference. We're committed to our culture. We're committed to whatever it says, whatever a man is or whatever a woman is. You got to be a career person or, you know, and like, okay, you take Essence magazine. That's a magazine for African-American women. And you read that, it's all about today's black woman. And I'm mad at it about Ebony, today's black family. You know, Latino magazines too. You know, I used to work in a library in Anaheim, mostly Latino population. There's a whole lot of Latino magazines pushing the same thing too. And then there's like Vogue and all those things. And, you know, there's a place for all of that. But at the end of the day, what do you need to be committing yourselves to wholeheartedly? The word of the Lord. Jesus said this in Deuteronomy 4, and then again he mentioned in Luke, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by, Jesus didn't say in Deuteronomy, God said in Deuteronomy, Jesus quoted it later, but he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So that has to be the basis for everything we do, including parenting. Because see, another thing too, we parent based on our childhood experience, and one of the real, get the mic, you're going to need to tell the story. Mm-hmm. And this is where we disagreed on something. So Jackie grew up very without boundaries. Her mom and dad, her dad was...
spoiled.
Oh, she's calling it like it is. Glory to God. She was spoiled. And so your dad was 40-some when he had you, and you were his first child?
I was his first child. He was 40 years old.
That Jackie's mom had three other kids that he just, you know, took in as his own, but then Jackie showed up.
Yeah, they were, my sister next to me is 7 years and 8 years and 13 years. So there's a big gap between me and my sister, as well as being my father's first child.
And so when...
And only child.
So when there was a food on your plate and you didn't want to eat it, what happened?
I didn't have to eat it. All I had to do was say, Daddy, I don't want this. And he said, okay.
Now, when I was food on my plate, guess what? You better finish that. Don't you get up. One day I saw my daddy put milk ice in his milk. And I said, oh, I did it too. I was like you guys' age. So I put it in there too, you know. And then I'm playing around and the ice began to melt. And I looked at it, it's like, that's yucky. And I didn't want it. I could not get up from that table until I finished that milk. I was there about 3 hours. Struggle, but I could not get up until I finished that. So here we go. So we get married and we have kids. And when Lavelle says he was finished eating, I said, okay, you can, and the food was still on his plate. I said, you can get up and go.
And I said, no, you're not, till that plate is empty.
I'm like, no. And I said, I remember my mama used to make me, no, let him get up.
Well, my rule is, what do you want on your plate? Whatever you want on your plate, you're going to eat, and you can't. And you
but go back to, why did you get so tight?
Because I had no boundaries, and I had problems because I had no problem, no boundaries.
So now she, as an adult, she decided now she's going to get all strict. But I went from the opposite, you know, and so now we got a little clash here, and it continued for a while because she was parenting really from her issues, and I was too, from a place of pain. And a lot of us do that. And based on this, I need to be committed to what the Word of God says. Now let's keep reading. It says, tie them on your hands, wear them as a forehead, as a reminder. So you got to just surround yourself with the Word. Everybody got that? Now, this is before they entered the promised land. They were in the wilderness, and they come out of Egypt, and God is getting them ready. This is how you're going to parent. Okay? So when you're going into the land of prosperity, and see what happens with a lot of us, we've come here to Corona, and you say, well, this ain't prosperity. Trust me, this is prosperity. You keep looking at Beverly Hills and Newport Beach, and you think you ain't prosperous. Trust me. 99% of the people on this planet do not live like us, right here in the Inland Empire. Okay? Maura says, yes, she just got back from South Africa. She's like, you're right. Next verse, please. 19. Ready, Evie?
Okay. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up.
Ooh, that sounds like all the time to me. So, but now you can't talk about what you don't know about. Now, I know I ain't talking to y'all because y'all hear Bible study. Now, you remember last Sunday, I talked about being planted, being rooted, you know, and I ain't mad because most of the people I have to spend time with don't come here. And they'll call. I go because that's my job and I love them. I'm patient with them. God was patient with me too. But the first thing, Evie, can you read it again? Just the first sentence, please.
Teach them to your children.
So what's your job, parents? Teach. What are we teaching them? Go back to verse 18, Lavelle, please. Word of God. Word of God. Word of God. And you got to be so in it that you can teach them. Now, go back to 19, please. Now, one of the things I did, parents, and what we did with my boys, and these, you can actually still do it with them since they all understand spirit and soul and body and what goes to heaven and what doesn't. We would take us from Pastor Ed, our pastor, we would take a cassette. Yeah, that's how long ago that was.
Yeah, that's
y'all remember those things, right? Tapes. And we would sit around the table, we would play it, and the boys had notes. And they would take notes as he would teach. And we would stop it every now and then, and we would talk about it. Then we got to the point where it was their responsibility to teach Bible study that night. And I'll give them a topic, humility. You let them go look it up in the Bible. That's a concordance which tells them every word in the Bible. Let them go look it up. And now, truthfully, it was at their level. Me and Jack had to sit there, but it's getting in them. They had to come prepared. They had to come prepared. And one of the reasons I believe that my three sons are all, you see one back there, one would, in fact, the one that set this whole thing up, he's in the hospital right now, otherwise he would be here. And then my son, David, he's probably somewhere singing to Jesus right now with his hands lifted. He's a worshiper. And I'm not exaggerating, that's him. But it's not going to come out of them unless we put it in them. Does Does that make sense? So it has to become part of the routine. Now, you take time to do soccer. You take time to do karate. You take time to do whatever else is going on in the world. Huh? Football or well, whatever. I mean, yeah, and that's a place for all of that because Lavelle did soccer, fencing. He did all kind of, and I understand that. But you got to carve out some time for this too. Evie, can you finish the rest of it, please? Let's just talk about it.
Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road.
Okay, let's look at that for a second. So one of the things Jackie would do is that when she was cooking and we had three boys, she would call one into the kitchen to help her. And that was time to really talk and share. You talk life stuff, you talk Bible stuff. They say what's going on in school. You come with, well, what would Jesus do? Put them in some scenarios. Help them understand that. You know, when we'd be driving, we see a homeless person. You know, talk about it. How did it end up like that? Does Jesus care about them? Well, what do you think happened? And let them really wrap their minds around it. You want them to begin to see life through the lens of the kingdom of God. You really want to do that. And for you guys who are like saying, well, you know, it's kind of late. No, it's not too late, okay? Because we're talking to, we just started this in 2000. Mm-hmm. We messed up. We came up short. In fact, we sit around with them long enough, they told us. When you're on the road, what about, okay, like David. I used to take David to school in the morning. He decided he couldn't go to school in Chino. He was like his brothers. He had to go to the Cal Poly Pomona. They had a camp high school called iPoly. So I would drive him to Chino Hills, iPolly. But every morning, we were talking about that. We were listening to Christian radio. Now, they were listening to Michael Jackson. In fact, they came in here, he had Michael Jackson playing. So I'm not so prudish that we didn't have fun in our household, okay? And Ms. Dance a lot over here, so you can, no, really, this one, she is going to be. So when you're on the road, though, you can do it. Yes, babe.
And also, what I did with the boys is that when we would come back from church, I'd ask them, what did you learn today? Tell me three things you learned today.
No, wait, no. This was funny. She'd say, how was church? And what would they say? Good. And what was good about that? So Jack, what was good about it? So they had to rehearse it. What did you learn today? Well, tell me about that. Well, and just talk about it. It has to become real to them. Okay? So when they're going to bed. And that's a good thing because that's the last thing on their minds. And when they're getting up, that's the first thing. You guys see this now? I don't want to just gloss over it. I really want you to begin to implement this and understand the importance of it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Verse 20, please. Evie?
Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates.
Okay, now this is an instance, too, and we don't kind of do it now because of where we live, but the bottom line is you got to surround them with the word. You have to surround them with the word. It has to be posted. You have to see it. If you think about when you go anywhere else, it's branding. We understand branding and marketing. We get it, right? Honor God. So, amen. All right. Now it says, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And this is why. Look at verse 21. So that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may do what? Now see, this is why we don't have that. Because we make decisions to do other things and our children suffer because of us. They do. Because we choose to parent from a place of selfishness and a place of immaturity. That's why it's important to get healed. Because, see, if I get married, it's going on a new day right now, but we have, believe me, I say it all the time, I get married, I'm not healed. I'm still immature. I still got some issues. I had a wife before, a girlfriend before, and she did this and said this, and I made a decision I'm going to behave this particular way, and I bring that over here. And as soon as Jackie does something that remotely reminds me of this, and I already told myself I'll never tolerate that again, then I'm going at it. All of a sudden, parenting goes out the window, purpose goes out the window, Christ goes out the window, and it becomes still about me and my needs or my perceived needs. And then everybody suffers. Then later on, you got kids, and this is why you shouldn't have kids out of wedlock either. You're going to suffer. It's going to suffer. Now, you say, well, wow, Pastor, what? Well, we did, you guys know the story. We've shared that part of our stuff, too. But see, here's the thing I love about God. He redeems. He redeems. He really will. But see, I want to flourish in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. I want to flourish. And we see in this passage here, if we really just get serious about the things of God, not the things of what I believe, not about what I believe. It's not about what I believe. It's not about what I believe. It's about thinking like God thinks. Amen?
And it's really, really important to die to that need that you have, because they are learning from you by how you respond, how you act. And you are building them into who they're going to be, and creating them into who they're going to be, or helping them to be who they'll be. And God wants them to be the man and woman that he's called them to be. And if we don't watch and we don't die to our insecurities and ourselves, we start hindering them from being who they really want to be and who God called them to be. And that's not fair to them, because they didn't ask for that.
Two more passages, then we're going to do some Q&A. So Psalm 78, Lavelle, Psalm 78, verse 4. Psalm 78, verse 4. I was on a programming call last night. I was telling Pastor Todd and who was on there, Deacon Lavelle, Elder Joyce, Elder Abraham, and we talked about Sunday service and then what we're going to do next Sunday, and it's all written out, and we go over and make sure what we messed up, who went over their time or whatever, and last Sunday I did, okay, yeah, whatever. Okay, so, not whatever, but we do that, and one of the things I talked about is how do we get the word into the hearts of the people more? You know, everybody having a device, is this helping us or is this hurting us? You know, I'm still old school. I like the Bible itself. Just seems to really speak to memorization. And I don't know how. I just have to learn how to remember stuff on my pad or my phone. You know, I can go to it fast, but how do you, I don't know. But in my Bible itself, I highlight it. I write it. I make notes around it. I say, go look at this scripture. And that really helped me coming up. And then Pastor Todd said, part of the problem is we put the scriptures up on the screen. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, so we're going to figure out something, because I want to get in your hearts. So you're there. Okay, so Evie, I'll read it, okay? And this is Psalms, and this is written after the whole Deuteronomy deal, but watch this, okay? We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. So one of the things you want to do, too, is begin to tell your testimony the goodness of the Lord. Faith comes by. So that's Romans 10:17. So if you keep hearing it, and that's what the belief is going to be. Now, here's part of the problem, too, parents. You're saying one thing, but you're doing something else. And what you're doing is talking so loud they can't hear what you're saying. That's why I was so disconnected up until I got in my 20s. Because what they were saying and what they were doing were not lining up. Okay? We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. It's important that the kids know that God is there. He's real. Most of our kids have the most amazing time at youth camp. They experience God like never before, okay? We want to get to the point where kids are experiencing God in your homes. I'm cool with the youth camp, but in your homes. My son David, he got filled with his Holy Spirit sitting in his, no, he was getting in the shower in our bed, in his bathroom. Brian got saved in his bathroom. Looked in the mirror, prayed, asked God into his heart. I'm saying you got to have that stuff in the house. Does that make sense? Next verse, look at 5. For he issued his laws to Jacob. Okay, now here's the thing, too. So we have Abraham, Isaac, and third generation. He gave his instructions to Israel. Israel and Jacob, same person, okay? He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. Next verse. Why? So the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children. Do you see how this is going? Generational. Remember, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Right. Okay. Verse 7, please. We tell my kids that babies haven't even been born yet. You know, Keith, Brother Keith here, had a little body attack. Man, I wish I had that picture. So Keith, right? Keith, wave your hand. Everybody turn around. That's Keith right there, Brother Keith. Okay. So he had just a little attack out. After church one day, and most of you guys had gone home after second service, and somebody got in some water, set him up a little bit, and that kind of stuff. And then there's a picture of my grandbaby stretching her hands towards Keith praying. When was that? When did it happen? Mother's Day, May. And I should know this because I'm a granddaddy, but I don't. She was 3 because she just turned 4, and so she's 3 years old. Difficult situation. What did she default to? How did she learn that? Now, how did her parents learn that? You see, you follow this. Okay, you there it is. And it blessed me. You sent, I don't know who took the photo, but then you sent me a copy of it. It blessed me too. Way to go, Lavelle and Rocio. Awesome job, parents. Amen. So what I'm teaching Lavelle now, let's say she gets somewhere else, she's praying for someone. And see, the problem is we always just think about family, about us and how it is with us. Them kids don't go into the world. They got to go and make a difference. And that's what I'm aiming for. They got to go and just have an impact. That's what it's all about, okay? And they in turn will teach their own children. Do I want verse 7? Yeah, verse 7. Oh, yeah, let's do this one. So each generation should set his hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. So each generation has to be fresh with them. Got it? So they need to be experiencing God themselves. Now, last one, verse 8. Then they will not be like their ancestors. See, that can change. We can shift this whole thing. We sit around talking about the earth and how bad a shape it's in. I got to call our governor tomorrow about AB 4923 and this bill they're trying to shove down our throats, where if somebody comes in and teaches about same-sex marriage and all that kind of stuff, they cannot sell any product. The whoever's selling, yeah, we can't purchase it or whatever, and that's the way they can't make money. Yeah, that stuff is coming up left and right. So all the pastors, we're gonna call tomorrow and bombard, and so they'll vote it on all that kind of stuff. Okay, so but here's the deal: how did that stuff even get up in the first place? Well, pastor, some people are born that way, and I'm gonna tell you something: it's the spirit. I'll give you a whole nother deal about that. I'll give you a whole nother. Trust me on that one, okay? They will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. So there is hope. You can't just tell me the millennials, they're like, no, this whole thing can turn around. This whole thing can turn around. This whole thing can turn around. Whole thing can turn around. If we just do our part, there's more of us than it is of them. And greater is he that's in us. Okay, last one. And this one just, I ain't going to charge you for this one tonight, okay? Judges, go to the book of Judges, and we talked about this before, but this is still part of parenting, and I want you to parent, going back to parenting with purpose, because sometimes, and I mentioned this before, I think, I don't know what service it was, maybe it's a Bible study, I don't know, I know I said it, no, that was down there, I was down in Texas. Okay, when a caterpillar goes into a cocoon, and it begins to that whole metamorphosis process. If you ever broke one open like I did as a little kid a bunch of times, it looks like goo. You know what goo looks like? If you open up, yeah, it's real yucky. But see, he's going from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And there's a change that has to take place, okay? And often, if when a butterfly is coming out, when it's coming out, you see it opening up. If you help it, you're trying to be nice, it'll never fly. In the struggle is how the strength is developed. So you have to be quick to learn when to intercede and when to back off. And that's an art. And that's why you got to stay prayerful and stay spirit-led about that. Because if you have a tendency like Naya and like Natalie, okay, because she's like you, we've seen that, where you're really sweet and kind and everybody likes you, guess what? She says she wants to be a doctor. So, no, you said doctor, right? So you can help people. So when you overextend a strength, it becomes a weakness. And so even though it's a good thing, it's not always a God thing. So let's go to Judges, Lavelle, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. New Living, please. Judges 3. And you guys highlight this, whatever, copy it and text it to yourself. I need you to get this one in your hearts, okay? Because this is why you really got to be spirit-led in your life. My challenge with denominations, my challenge with, and not denominations are bad and all that, but sometimes we overemphasize one particular aspect of Christianity and then we neglect everything else. That's how we got the denominations, okay? Now, here's the deal. Judges 3, verse 1. Now, they're in the promised land, okay? The land flowing with milk and honey. And God said he's going to go in and clear out the Girgashites, the Perizzites, the mosquito bites, the megabites. He's going to clear out all of them, okay? But now here's something, too. Watch this. These are the nations that the Lord left in the land to test those Israelites who had not experienced the wars of Canaan. So wait, you left some? And God is strategic. So sometimes your kids are going to face situations, and even though, you know, I love my kids too, I don't want them to suffer, I don't want them to go through harm, sometimes they're going to encounter some situations, and you're going to have to let them grow through it. But we're so quick because we don't want them to suffer. We don't want them to have any. We just, no, I don't want it. Yeah. And then that's why I always say, ask questions. God, what are you doing? What's going on? Where are you working right there? What is that? We'll be so quick to pull that. Sometimes you have a teacher, and sometimes when a teacher doesn't like my child, well, most of the time your kid is acting up. And I know that because I remember my mother. She was a school teacher for 40 years. She would get calls all the time. And parents are so defensive. Let me be the teacher. I'll be casting demons out of them. Okay, let me stop. These are the nations that the Lord left in the land to test those Israelites who had not experienced the wars. So, wives, let me ask you something, okay, straight up. Now, this is hilarious. It's me and you. And if you can remember this, I know we didn't rehearse it or even talk about it. One of the things you said you really know about me and you're so sure about a relationship, you know, if something happens, what?
That you'd always take care of me.
She's so sure I'm going to take care of her. Look, I'm 5'7". She cracked me up when she told me that. I told you better put on some Nikes and run with me, dear. You better keep up. And let me tell you something. If you ever like out in the woods, just make sure you ever hanging out with, you can run faster than them. Because if a bear gets after you, they'll get them and then you can get away. Okay? So. Basically. But here's the thing. So she's looking for security. Got it? Okay. So my point is this. So now what if my mother and she still does this. Baby, you going to Africa? You're going to be okay now. Tony, you okay? How you doing? I'm 56. Cool, 54. You got it wrong, 56. I'm 56 years old, and she's still babying me. It was a good thing I grew up in Compton. I know it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot. When I look at all the things we went through financially and lost everything. In fact, we took Elder Joyce today. We went to, Kenneth, the bass player, his wife died, so we went to the funeral this afternoon. And on the way back home, we stopped by Chick-fil-A around the corner from where we used to live. So we took Elder Joyce by where we used to live. We showed her the house that we got kicked out of. We got, you know, and then I showed her the one that we came back about 6 years later, and bought. How you like that? And so we were talking about that. But where did I get that tenacity from? A Compton? CPT. I mean, you learn how to survive, and you learn to get back up. Because every day I got to go to school, bullies there or not, I got to deal with that. You know, and you learn some things. There's some toughness. So often if I didn't go through that, then, okay. And Pastor Ed does this so good. Y'all got to see him do this, okay? I've seen him do it twice in sermons. If we don't learn to take authority and become strong, it's like when the enemy comes in, we be like, stop, devil. Stop it, devil. Devil, you better get, devil, stop. No. You don't want no man like, stop, devil. You be like, devil, you better sit back. You don't know who you need a man. I might be 5'7" and physically, but I'm bigger than Shaq in the spirit realm. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so that's what you need. But it comes, how's that developed though? Next verse, please. Verse 2, and then we're going to do Q&A. Watch this. He left them. He did this to teach warfare to generation of Israelites who had no experience in battle. There are going to be some spiritual battles, and we have to get our kids ready for that too. It's a real world out there. And here's the thing. They are not your darling little sweet little, I only know Ken and Barbie. I don't know no other dolls. I'm a boy. Okay, so I don't know. But those are only two dolls I know of. But your children are not dolls. They're agents and ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And we got to raise them, go out, and do battle. Does that make sense? Now, with the girls, we need to teach them wisdom and understand discernment, value. Because if they value it at home, they won't need to go get their value anywhere else. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. Just think for a minute how you felt and how you got your value. Then you got your feelings hurt. Mm-hmm. Amen? All right. Amen, amen, amen. What questions do you have? Oh, I don't mind. Yes, Joel, you got a question. It's not really a question. Go ahead. It's a comment. Okay, cool.
We did this thing in social studies today.
Okay.
Where we're learning about Queen Elizabeth I.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she has a heart of a man, not a woman. So, in some ways, I guess people are men, even if they're women. And like,
well, what do you think she meant by that?
Like, she's strong.
She's strong. She had to be
strong. With her voice, and she's strong physically and spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's being a queen means she's a leader, right? Yeah, and so she had to be strong, yeah. And so that meant sometimes she cannot, even though she might have be emotional sometimes or be feeling something, she has to put that to the side and rise up and be a good leader. So thank you for sharing that. Parents, questions? Either I'm just so great or y'all just so shy. What is it? Yeah. Huh? Oh, he said both. Okay. Yes, Miss Tony and Shimon. Yeah, okay. John's about to get a workout today. Miss Marie Antoinette.
I thought you went back there. You need to call me Tony. you mentioned about how are we going to, you're planning to try to help us to use the Bible more, because I am guilty of that now. My Bible pages are torn and all kinds of writing, but because it's up there, and then I don't like the phone, so I just kind of read. And today, like tonight, not having any notes. How are you gonna try to do that? I think it's a great idea because we are spoiled. Nobody comes to church with a Bible. Even let me say that a lot of us don't.
And I tell me like,
yeah.
Okay, amen. I got to work on that. I don't know. We're looking at that and how to really, how do we really balance that? And I'm thinking just putting the scripture itself, not writing it out on the handouts that force everybody to look it up, you know, but you can still go home and you know, with that like that. So we just got to do that. I'm also looking at this, and we were talking about, we have life group starting next week. No, week after. Amen. And most of our people are in life groups, but I'm still thinking maybe Tuesday nights just doing, when I say a Bible study, I mean just because I do like a lot of life application, how to take the word and apply it to life. And I'm thinking of just doing just an actual Bible teaching, a Bible itself, you know, just going through that. So just doing a class on that probably on Tuesday nights in addition, because I got it. I want to get that in everybody's heart. I really want us to be just students of the Word of God. Amen. All right. 1 second, Ms. March. Shema.
Mother Jackie, not sister, Mother Jackie, came out in the front and she asked me how I was doing. And I said, it was a rough day. Something happened today with my son. I was going through a situation, trying to get the family in order, and I snapped at him. And I saw the tears, and the first time I felt lost, and this is my question. I know it has nothing to do with him. It has to do with me. And you said just now, a minute ago, you have to take it from his lens.
Take it, what?
Take it to his lens. Look at his perspective, not about my, that's what you said, right? So how, I know you're going to say spiritual. I know, all right?
Wait, say it again?
I know you're going to say spiritual. That the answer you're going to say is spiritual, but I'm going to ask you man to man, what is the easiest way? Because I don't want to scar him as my uncles and stuff scarred them when they were going through the most. I want to stop that, or my mom did. I want to stop that. And I'm beginning to see that as I go through my struggles. So how, simplest way to diffuse that? What is the simplest way to diffuse that in that moment, if you understand my question?
Yeah, I do. And one is you allow your emotions or whatever is happening to get to you. And so that's more your responsibility. Because here's something, too, and it's a quick lesson. In fact, okay, this is okay, real talk, okay? That's crazy, but okay, so Big Ron's big, right? And so I came in your shop. Oh, I got one. Oh, I kick over his motorcycle. Okay. And if y'all seen Big Ron's bike, it's sweet. Okay. You got a nice bike. Okay. come in, kick over that. No, no. And then I kick your 6 foot, it's 64, right? 61 a pound. I just kick the door in. And you see this, what are you going to do? Come on, come on, come at me. Okay, here we go. He's going to whip my tail, right? Okay, come at me right now. This is my gun. Why did he stop? The gun made him stop. Now, a moment ago, he was, right? You was all hot. Your bike's on the floor. In a heartbeat, everything changed. He came to his senses real quick, didn't he? He can do that without the gun then. You can too. You don't have to lose it. You don't have to. Kids are crying. Oh, you, thanks. Thanks, Brian. Kids are crying. I mean, they're downstairs making all kind of noise, okay? Just, and then you got to, okay, John, you got to go to sleep. You got to go to work in 2 hours, okay? Okay, y'all, you know, Nat, Isaiah, y'all be quiet. Now, Daddy got to go take a nap, okay? Daddy got to get up in 2 hours, go to work. Y'all be quiet. You go up, and as soon as you get into it, you hear somebody say, you come run, yeah. Oh, that happened to you? You got to know, flashback. It's about 3 p.m. today, huh? You go running downstairs. You mad. You're going to just whoop Isaiah's behind, and then you see Natalie bleeding. What happens? In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. See, you can control your emotions. We swear we can't. Swear we can't. That little exercise right there. You got to lose it. So make a decision. You're going to control it. And everything you get upset about is really just how you framed it. It's just how you put value on it. It's just how you see it. You just got to see it differently. You got to see it differently. You can't lose it, because when you get upset, Proverbs 15:1, please, and now I'm going to go spiritual on you. That was practical, okay? I know you're going to go spiritual. Shimon cracked me up. He got him all. Just talk to me. No, just talk to me, Pastor. He's funny. Just talk to me. No, he called me Dad, just talk to me. Okay. All right. I love you, though. You know that. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. I noticed, and now the goal is, I don't want to fight with Jackie, so I don't go off. We're driving from Houston. We're in Houston trying to get to the airport, okay? And I need to get on a call with a bishop in South Africa and Bishop Ed here, you know, the Zoom call. So I'm trying to find somewhere to park and do that, then get to the airport, right? And she got the GPS thing, and the freeway is splitting. And Jackie being an I's are indecisive. I'm like, Jackie, left, right. Jackie, left, Jackie, you just go left. And she's screaming and all this and that. I'm like, so I go left and I pull over. I just put my phone out. I ain't talking to her no more. I'm just, she reached her limit. So I could have, Jackie's smart. Jackie's running multi-million-dollar projects, and I could, but it's like, no, just be gentle. I got to be gentle. I got to be gentle. Let her just work it through. Because, see, that wouldn't have bothered me. Go left. And if it's wrong, oh, I just get off and go back the other way. No biggie. But some things, she's just different from me. It makes sense. So I got to create things. I don't want stuff to get up in her upper row. Yeah, so we got to be intentional. My sister, what's your name? Martina? Yeah. Martika. M-A-R-T-I-K-A. Look at me. I'm from Compton and I can spell. Okay. I'm Asia Makeda.
So I'm not a parent, but I'm an older sister. There's a 10-year...
Did you say you're a big sister?
Yeah, I'm a big sister. My sister is 10 years my junior. And I was having a conversation with her today, and I wasn't sure how to give her peace, because I'm noticing a change in her. I mean, she's 15, so she's in her former years where stuff just happens. Everybody has things that happen. So she's talking about school and the things, and the biggest thing for her and with me and my mom as women is cleaning. She just doesn't know how to do it, so we're trying to teach her for, she's 15, she needs to learn, she's going to be in college. And she's like, I am trying, I'm just so stressed out, I'm trying to get good grades. You think that I want to get good grades? You think this is for me? It's not for me, it's for you. And I was like, taken back, because I was like, well, that shouldn't be about me. That shouldn't be about your mom. That shouldn't be about your dad. So my question is, in her years that she's feeling where she's trying to get to know herself and she's becoming a person, how do I push her so that she becomes herself and not who me and my parents want her to be?
Galatians 1:10, LaBelle. Okay, here we go. This is Paul, and he's writing a church to a, he's writing a letter to a church in Galatia, and the people who live in Galatia are Galatians, okay? He says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be a Christ servant. So your sister, her emphasis is on making you guys happy. Now, it goes back to what I said about Naya, the young girl here. Certain people are wired a particular way, and that's a strength. Natalie's and Naya's desire to help people and be kind, that's a beautiful strength to have. But if you go too far, it then becomes a weakness, and that's what it is. So what's happening here is that I would encourage you guys, and this is one of the reasons I do like Destined for Purpose. This is why you're like, Pastor Tony, why are you always up in us? Because now we can understand. When we don't understand, it gives the devil access. And so I need to show you that too. Okay, no, let me take my time, okay? You see that? That's because you can't be in a people pleasing. You see it there. I see it there. Okay. Can't be in a people pleasing. You see that one? Okay, make a note. You got something to write with, because I'm going to give you two others right now, okay? So that's Galatians 1:10. LaBelle's, while she's writing that, go to Proverbs 29:25. Now, this goes back to really just learning the word. Now, these scriptures I'm giving you, these are scriptures. The reason I know them, because these are ones I apply to myself, because I'm at the other end. I don't care. I got to come back towards caring. Okay, that's my issue. Just right, wrong. Okay, so we got to come back towards caring, whereas others, you care too much. You got to come back more centered. Fearing people or being, worried about people is a dangerous trap. It's a dangerous trap. So you get in a word about what people think and what they need and how you showing up and all of that, and do you look good enough and all that, you're going to get in trouble. Okay? So it's not that people say, just because you don't care, Pastor Tony, throw me out the window. Forget me. It's nothing to do with me. Just the word of God. And anytime you're in resistance to the word, ask yourself, why am I in resistance? Why is it that this, because if you get defensive, ask yourself, what am I defending? Stuff not working, so you're defending the stuff not working. Okay, that's nothing to do with you. That you got that one? Proverbs 20. Okay, now go to John 12:42. And it's going to be 42 and 43, but we'll do 42 first. Now, this one trips me out. We have people. Many people did believe in him, right? You see? They believe. Watch this. They believed in him, including some of the Jewish leaders, but they wouldn't admit it. I believe in Jesus, but I can't admit it. I believe in Jesus, can't admit it. Believe in Jesus, can't admit it. Believe in Jesus, can't admit it. Why? For fear that the Pharisees would kick them out the synagogue. Why do you need to be in a synagogue? Why is it so important to you? Because I'm an important person. And I need people to look up to me. This seat, my place of priority or preeminence in the synagogue is really important. I can't be kicked out of here, because then what will I be in society? Man, bump society. Next verse, please. Here we go. They love human praise more than the praise of God. I got another one for you, too. I just can't think of where it is right now. Okay, there's four that I use in this instance. But the thing is, understand, so your sister probably has that sweet, kind. That's a beautiful thing you have. Don't get me wrong. We need more of you in the world, because me and Big Ron and Donald Trump, you see what we've done to it, okay? No, for real. And that ain't nothing political. That's whether you're Republican or Democrat. I don't care who you are. McCain was a Republican. He was a whole lot nicer than Trump. So, Houston McCain, he asked Obama to do his thing. So, he can go, he's a good guy. Okay. You just got different philosophies, if you would, about how to run a country, you know, and that's all good to each his own. But, you know, but the thing is that we can be so hard, and that's an example. Now, Donald Trump's ability to focus and be dogmatic has helped him amass all he has. That's a strength. But now he overextends it in his relationships. Now it's a weakness. Do you see this, please? Please don't laugh because you wired just like me and Ron too. Okay, so yeah. And you know what's funny? Because the way we're wired, we're only 3% of the population, but we just a whole lot of them at New Day. We get him. I know. Hallelujah. But we just gotta work on our stuff. So that's the thing, okay? So really helping them to understand who they are. And that goes back to, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. And let me have an amplified version of that one available. Proverbs 22:6, right? Right, that is train up a child, isn't it? You're kind of slow tonight, son. Okay, here we go. Train up a child, okay, in the way he should go. And in keeping with his individual gift, you got to consider that. So you can't take, let's say Brian, Pastor Brian versus Minister Sean. Because Sean was over the youth back in the day, okay? And Sean's a D. Sean is a police officer. Sean used to be a basketball coach. So that Sunday at church, I'm standing outside. He's in a parking lot. I heard him go, yo, yo. And I said, that's Sean, ain't it? Weird? Yep. He's like that. Now my son Brian is not going to do that. Brian's like, hey, have you guys considered that maybe we should all go to the park today? It's the truth. I never try to make Brian into Sean. That's who Brian is. That's who he's going to be. I've never had every teacher he had all the way up until 10th grade, then he started getting multiple teachers. Every one of us told us, called us, and said how wonderful he is to have in class. He's always obedient, never a problem. He's encouraging. He's all that, all that, all of that. He's just a nice guy like that. Okay? So I can't make him, you know, rough and praise God he didn't grow up in Compton. So you got to position them based on how they are, and it's okay. And see, the thing is that, and I talked with another pastor, I don't want to give you his name, but he got beat up when as a kid, and he's like me and you, okay? And so that just made him even harder, and he's determined that his kids ain't going to be no punk. Now, bless God, neither one of them are, and they're all of them kind of, you know, tough. So praise God, because otherwise you would take somebody as soft like that and you would damage them. It's just not them. So you got to keep it the individual gift or bent. Now, if when she gets defensive like that, you got to ask yourself, what is she defending? Because when you just told me that, what I heard was, what's your sister's name?
Savannah.
Savannah. If I'm Savannah, this is what I'm thinking. Based on what you said, Savannah, what you said was to Savannah, what she heard, not what you said, what she heard was, I'm not good at cleaning. Because she hears about like what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. And you got to be careful with that too. So you got to help her work through that. And you don't want to get older and still be, because we hear it filters. We hear it filters. And you be mindful of that too when you're talking to your kids. Yes, Ms. Janet. Okay, hang on 1 second. Here we go. Because I think, are you recording this? Okay, yeah, so we got to get on the mic, okay? Things I should know before I start meetings, huh? Amen.
My question is, it's a little problem that has developed into a large problem with Joel. He lies at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
We take him to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We show him what the Word of God says about lying. But it's as if he has a tendency where he'll just lie, mm-hmm. just like that. And then his new thing is, I misspoke. Or, you know, so we say to him, think about it before you say it. Because then he starts crying and, you know, just losing it. How do you deal with that?
One is, you got to stay on him. You're going to have to, you know, punishment, of course. But when he said he was a video game designer, he's creative. He's smart. You saw that. Well, of course you saw it. We just saw it, but you know it all. You know it. And so that little mind of his, It's going to always be racing, always creating. The other part is he doesn't want to be in trouble. So most likely he's the type where he doesn't want to be constrained or refined, or, I mean, or confined to something and tied in. And so he's probably going to need space to create and space to do that. And so when he's come, yes, great, you got something to say? Sure, come on up here. You got one back there, or you can come up here. Oh, yeah, because I got a feeling. Sure, Lavelle, answer this.
Not that great now. So, I had the same problem as a child, lying all the time. And the issue was, I was afraid of him. So you think about it.
That's why you're still working out.
To defend myself, yeah. This, yeah. I'm not going to take him. Take him now. But it got to the point where it didn't matter what the right answer, what the truth was. It's whatever the truth that I thought that my dad would not be mad at me about. So it was out of fear. So I don't know the situation, but that was happening for us. That it always says, hey, whatever, it didn't matter what it was. Did you brush your teeth? Did you woke up today? Did you tie your shoes? What is the answer that would not get me in trouble? Because that, I just assume, is either you're in trouble or not in trouble. There's only two roles. That's all that matters. There was no middle ground. There was no mercy. There was no grace. It was just either in trouble or not in trouble, in my mind.
Why don't you stay here? Hey, Jonathan, one more. Oh, the bell has it. Oh, you take that one. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
You are actually the exact thing. We're laughing because that's the same exact thing. He will come out of the bathroom, come downstairs, did you lotion yourself? Yes. You pull his pants up, no, no lotion, and go upstairs and lotion yourself. So it's like he just says things just to get out of trouble, and we wonder why. And he knows. Before you go to school, brush your hair. Before you come downstairs, brush your hair, brush your teeth. All of that. He will not do these things. But he'll tell you, yes, he did. So I need your help. I need to hang out with you a little bit more. You can help us.
The other thing, too, for you guys is you cannot give up. You cannot get weary in well-doing. And one of the things, too, that we somehow or another understood along the way, okay, so this is not my biological son, obviously, okay? But the thing is that I know I'm supposed to be his dad, going back to purpose again, okay? And so I cannot get weary in well-doing. Now, I got tired, Shimon. You know, there were times like that, but understand that he's my responsibility, kingdom-wise. Does that make sense? Yeah, because now, okay, and I'm sure look not too much his business, but he's amazing right now. He's here every Sunday. He's here now. I never have to look for him. You know, he's always there. You know, he got his house. He's getting his finances in order. He just got a big raise and promotion, and he got a condo he owns, too, for a rental property. And so, hallelujah. And literally right now, even though, and the thing that blessed me, too, is that he's the oldest. But when they were at camp, it was about 4 years ago, the Lord spoke to him because Brian went up because they called everybody up going to be in called a full-time ministry. And the Lord spoke to you saying, serve your brother. So he serves his brother too, you know, in this instance. So what I'm saying for you guys is don't give up because now the world is benefiting. The world is benefiting. And every child in the Bible that did something significant, I can't say every, but everyone I'm thinking of right now came from a dysfunctional family. Joseph, and we think because his brothers threw him in a pit, but you got to remember, long before the pit, his mother died giving birth to Benjamin. So he grew up without a mom. His daddy had three other wives, and he had some brothers. They didn't like him. That's an odd thing to do. But if Joseph could not have handled that, he couldn't handle Potiphar's house, running a household. He mastered that, then he could run a prison, much bigger. And then if he mastered that, then he got a chance to run the palace. And that goes back to if you don't understand the battles that they're facing, and you got to really work on them and not give up. I need you to do one more scripture for me, Jeremiah 12:5. And I saw, was it a Shelley? Oh, it was Frank. Oh, I'm sorry. Natalie first. Natalie, I'm sorry. Natalie. Okay.
I have a side note about greatness with
Wait, give her the mic. So, yeah.
I was saying to speak also about his greatness. He's the face of Kaiser. So if any of you guys go to Kaiser and you're released, he's on your paperwork when you're released. And I thought it was amazing. All of Kaiser now knows about my pastor. I was like, that's my pastor's son.
Oh, Natalie.
He did have a shirt on in the picture, yes. You didn't touch on this today, but it's something that you've spoken to before, that all your boys save themselves until marriage.
Yeah.
So how did you do that? What were the discussions like, and when did you start talking about it? Especially since I know you said also that you and Miss Jackie didn't wait, so most of us are probably in that situation. So, you know, how do you do that?
Okay, I'll go with that one. But so we were talking about, I forgot something. But this is my go-to verse, too. Oh, about handling the little things, about if racing against mere men makes you tired, how will you race against horses? If you can't have an argument with your wife, how are you going to run a ministry? That's the first thing I do with pastors. If you can't handle this, how are you going? Wait, because you know how many of y'all like me. There's a number of people down here anymore. They can't stand me. Seriously, it's not just hate. It's like, you know, because most of them I didn't do what they wanted me to do. So, and then they'll say, well, the church should do this. That church ain't doing this. They've never run nothing but their mouths. Never built anything. But here's the thing. If you can't handle the pressure of a family, how are you going to really walk in a kingdom purpose? So if racing against, you see the principle here. If racing against mere men makes you tired, how will you race against horses? Now, and if you stumble and fall on open ground, how are you going to do in the thickets, you know, in the tough part of the Jordan River? But my point here, too, is going back to your kids still. If your kids can't learn how to contend, how to deal with little stuff, how are they going to deal with the big stuff later on? And women, you don't want a man that can't handle business or can't handle pressure. So don't raise one and make your soon-to-be daughter-in-law suffer. You got to think about that. So he's not your little boy. He's not your little man or your mama's little man. And I get that, but make sure now that you're raising him to handle his business. He's going to be responsible. And sometimes he's going to mess up. And then give him space to mess up and let him correct himself and then figure it out. Okay, back to you, Natalie. I'm sorry, you said about...
The discussions about waiting till marriage with the
boys.
Well,
one of the things we did is we talked in the value of women, okay? So let's run through this real quick, and you're going to need notes on this one because I'm going to fly. Lavelle, Genesis... No, let me just tell you, otherwise it's going to take too long. So God said it's not good for man to be alone, right, when he made Adam, right? Everybody know that, okay? So how did he solve that problem? He made woman. So what is woman to man from God's perspective? An answer to that problem, because everything before that was good. This was good, this is good, it was good. And God saw this and it was good. And God saw this and it was good. And you did this and it was good. And then he said it's not good for man to be alone. So the way, and a dog is not man's best friend. Okay? Here's the thing. Is if since, and this goes back to seeing it like God does. So there are times when, okay, you guys know Michael Jr., the comedian? Mike and I was talking today, okay? I'm on his board. I think I mentioned that. And so the director, person still got let go, whatever. And so I need to, okay, what's going on? And we was talking. And me and Mike click. It's like nobody's business. And he's funny. Every time it's just, and that's why he has me on his board. We click. I don't sometimes click with my wife. Now, if you're not careful, because I click with Mike and I click with other guys really well, I can look down on Jackie. But now I got to trust what God says. That's where faith comes in. Okay? So now, going back to teaching my boys, women are an answer to that problem of it's not being good for man to be alone. You got to understand that, okay? Number two, when he made man, I teach on this, he squeezed man, like you pick up some clay, and some of y'all, your kids, some of them kids right here that was just here, they made some clay ashtrays or clay cups for you guys or something, you know, it's all jacked up, you know it is. But you like, oh, thank you, and you put it up somewhere, you show everybody, you know, it's so special. But literally, that's the same way God made man. But now when he made woman, you've been to Knott's Berry Farm, and you've seen those glass makers, and the artistry, the craftsmanship that goes into that, and it's beautiful and all that, that's the Hebrew word when he made woman. So I take, like, we have some a vase that some we got from Italy for our 15th anniversary, and it was in this glass factory. It's beautiful. Got the little cups and all that. And we don't touch them. They, in fact, we've never drank from them. They sit up right now. They've been sitting up ever since we, and it's beautiful. But see, that's the way he made woman. And a woman is to be put up on a shelf and admired. Now, when your two boys come over, Baba, can I have something to drink? Here's this cup, this plastic cup. That it costs 39 cents. I don't care if they drop it. So what happens with women is that you will allow yourself to use like a cheap 39 cent cup when you're supposed to be up on a shelf. And I taught my, going back to the word of God, I taught my boys this, they're not to be toyed with. Now, the other thing is that, and men heard me do this just a few weeks ago at men's fellowship. If you're watching something on the screen, everybody tracking with me? Yeah. All right, you ain't should be watching, you're watching it. And she's doing any and everything, right? And you're watching. How would you feel if that was your mama and all your friends were watching? You walk in a room, everybody watching your mama. You're going to beat everybody in the room. Don't look at my mama. Mama, why are you doing that? Mama. Right? Right? Real talk? Okay. So if you don't want nobody watching your mama or your daughter or your sister, then you don't watch nobody's mama, sister, or daughter. Amen? So you got to begin to teach them. Okay? The other thing is, now I need this one, Deuteronomy 24:5, I think. Now this is one right here. Here we go, thank you. A newly married man must not be drafted into the army or given any other official responsibilities. Watch this. He must be free to spend 1 year at home doing what? To who? How long? Now, you know me. I done looked. There is not one scripture anywhere from Genesis to Revelation that says she got to hook her brother up like that. You know I was looking for one. You know I was. I got, had no comeback. Now, my question to you is this. This is the word of God. And you got to stay at home 1 year. Now, the challenge, especially if you're wired like me, One year is a long time. Two, when you going to get yourself together, I got to quit all this happiness stuff. And I learned it's not just about the 1 year. This is a lifetime. It's a lifetime. It has become a lifestyle. So again, having them see scriptures like this helped. That this is how valuable they are in God's eyes. Remember, not our eyes. Because in our eyes, the way I was growing up, and I ain't quite as bad as, they were all on the beach in Florida in that rap video. Luke. What is it? Two Live Crew. And what was it called? Comes What a Girl Thinks It Is. And it's not. And if I don't have something to come, you know, show them an alternative, they're going to fall for that. You asked me last week or 2 weeks ago about, you know, the stuff that you got to have. That's why you got to give them the word. And that has to be the baseline, not these videos. I mean, we had Prince, who had Apollonia 6 and Vanity 6 and then the Mary Jane girls from Rick James and all that, but they weren't as bad as these rap girls. I mean, these you know, I'm sorry. It's a whole another level now. But see, you got to explain like this to them. Another one, Lavelle. We got 5 minutes. Go to Proverbs 22. No, wait. Okay, with death and life and the power of the tongue. 22:19, I believe. Death and life and the power of the tongue. That's 22:18. I think it's 22:19. That's not it. Okay, I'm teaching you today. Yes, no. 22:18. No. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Okay, I don't know where it is. Okay, where is it? No, that's the virtuous woman. Okay, Lavelle, 21. Try 21. 22:21. 23. What is it? No. Okay, I don't know. But okay, but that's another one. He who finds 18:22. I was 22. That. Thank you. 18:22. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. He who finds a wife finds a what? Finds a what? So when Jackie's yelling at me down in Houston because she can't figure out whether we should go left or go right, what is Jackie? Now, so here's another one, too. So we're going to see, you know, we're part of Joel Osteen Network. So we leave in the hotel. Oh, and hey, fellas, it was cool because this was like the teams that played the Rockets. This is the hotel they were staying. This is the tunnel they were walking into the arena, okay? And I'm feeling it because I feel it every time I go there, right? I'm feeling it. And I'm walking. And Jackie's like, wait, you not got these heels on. I'm like, why did you put on some flats? Okay, baby, I'll wait. And walk with her. And then what I do is I reframe it. She's here with me. She wants to go with me. Now, some pastors' wives like, I ain't going down there. Why are you down there? You think, you know, it's just, she's with me. I can slow down and wait for her. She's a treasure. Okay, yes, Shimon? Now, remember this, too, when he said you got to teach your kids the word. Yes. This is part of the word. Yes. You got it? Okay. I need another one. Okay. Go Malachi. My son David went on TBN, and it's like a Bible Jeopardy, his team against another team. David rocked it because they were just asking in scriptures, where is this, where is that? Because it was in him, okay? Okay, watch this. And this is God talking to the children of Israel. Here's another thing you do. You cover the Lord's altar with tears, weeping and groaning because he pays no attention to your offerings. Hold up. That's a lie. Because the Bible says give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and run over, shall be given to your bosom. It also says that he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing. I won't have room enough to receive it all. And whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Seed time is harvest. As long as the earth remains, there will always be seed time and harvest. But now you're saying you ain't paying no attention to my offering. Now, there's a sowing and reaping principle that can be altered. There's a spiritual principle that can just come to a halt. Next verse. You cry, why doesn't the Lord accept my worship? I'll tell you why. Offering. I'll tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows you and your wife made when you were young. You have been unfaithful to her. Hey, jack up my money game. So God's so crazy about you. Come here. One second. One's Miss Vanessa. Okay. So here's Vanessa. Okay. Now, here's the thing. God is so crazy about Vanessa. Okay. And I'm like, you know, if she ain't looking, I'm going to just slide on over here. Okay. Thank you. I'm thinking ain't nobody seeing. God is seeing. And I'm wondering, why can't I make money? I'm getting my tithes. It says it right there. Because I've been unfaithful. My money game is jacked up. So what does that make you? She's amazing. You follow me? So that's another thing I taught him. Okay, cool. Okay, thank you. Okay, and one more. Actually, two more. But we got to run out of time. Let's do this one. Let's do 1 Peter 3, 5. Is it 7? Nope, 7. Watch this. This is funny. In the same way, I'm going to give you two versions on this, okay? In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Give them what? Honor. So when Jackie says slow down, I slow down. And God, just that word slow, just it's like somebody poking me. Just treat your wife with what? It's hard. I'm not lying. Pastor Tony, you're a pastor. Whatever, it's hard. Being a pastor got nothing to do with it. As you live, how? She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should so your prayers will not be. So again, you're going to mess up my money game. Now you're messing up my prayer game. So a minute ago, we had the holy fires down and below. And fire coming over the hill, y'all gonna take authority. I'm gonna take authority of the fire in the name of Jesus. He's like, not the way you're treating your wife. Your stuff about to get burnt up. You ain't listening to your prayer. Your house being the only one burned down. No, so Natalie, teaching them this, okay, really helped them understand that women are valuable and they're not to be played with, not to be toyed with. And the ultimate principle, oh, I need to give you an amplified because that hindered, that messes y'all up. Let me show you what hindered really means. Give me an amplified on that one, LaBelle, please. Go down. It says, otherwise your prayers may not be hindered and cut off. You ever have a drop call? Like, you there? You there? Hello? Hello? Like doing it to God. You getting beat up. God, drop call. So I have to honor her, and I have, that's what I taught them. Now on the sexual side, the word of God says, if don't do it if you're not married. That's just being obedient. And the reason is, praise God, to me and LaBelle, we really vibe, and in so many ways we click. You know, I actually, it's easier to hang out with LaBelle than it is Brian and David because he likes sports. Hallelujah. Brian and David don't. So, and just the way LaBelle thinks and all that, we really literally click at a level more than Brian and David. Okay, we do. But that really helps. Getting them to understand, even though they didn't have a sister, you don't do certain things. You just don't do it. Now, my mama tried that with me. That was her thing. You know, I'll be leaving out the house. Like, boy, you know, Tony, now, don't, you know, you had a sister now. I'm like, I know, mama, I know. As soon as I shut the door, but I ain't got no sister. And I would just go do what I do. And then what happens, though, is that you have children that are produced from that. And it happened here with LaBelle. And so for the first 2 years, it was Jackie and LaBelle, and it was hard for her. Jackie's daddy died. And then Jackie's sisters left the house because Jackie's mom was a trip. Jackie's mom was an alcoholic. And she had lupus. And so it was hard for Jackie. But if Jackie had kept herself, you know, and in all that anguish. Now, praise God, God's grace was there. But there are a lot of people, you guys know, we're doing this foster care thing now. And how did it go last night? Well, okay, man. So we were working with foster kids, and you know, we got a team that rotates, and I think I'm up 2 weeks from now or something. But the thing is, you listen to those kids and what they're suffering through because their parents decided to ignore that. Yes? Wait, we got a mic? Just so everybody can hear you.
Girls are witnessing in the homes because my girls at a young age, some people know my situation, ask their dad, why don't you say mommy's name the way she calls you Greg? What do you call mom? So they were noticing right away the detachment in our relationship.
You know what? You're absolutely right. And it's not just yours, but I've seen it. The thing that we don't understand is what kids see. Okay, let me, okay, real talk, and I can't give you names, but I've heard this from females. Like, mom was having an affair, okay? Mom was doing something. Mom didn't think that, they thought the kids were too little to notice. And the kid remembers that now. And it jacked the kid up. Well, she's an adult now, but the stuff that she went through, because you think they don't see it, or they don't sense it. Girls are very perceptive. You guys know y'all. You know how y'all feel stuff? Y'all just know? You know how y'all just know? We don't have that. That's why we get in trouble. Just, we busted. We're simple. That didn't start when you're an adult. And so girls know. The other thing, too, girls are looking for security. And so that's why you need that male presence. That's what that provides. They need that security. And when they don't get that, and then, too, they need that male example. Otherwise, they're going to come up with something on their own. If you don't give people a vision, they'll come up with their own vision. One last thing, because Jackie told me to cut it. I think the kids are running amok out there. Was it Frank? Okay, Frank.
I think this question is more for LaBelle.
Okay.
Come on down.
LaBelle is suggesting that we do a Dunn 5-on-5 one Sunday, that the Dunns get up and just share. Yeah.
All right, LaBelle. So my question is, one, when you were being dishonest to your dad, What are some of the things that caused that fear in you to lie to him? And as a child, what is something he could have did differently so that you felt like you didn't need to have to lie to him or fear him the way you did?
So, is the first part again? Sorry.
As a child, what were some of the things that you felt that caused you to have that fear that you had to lie to your dad?
Punishment. I was afraid of getting in trouble. And I guess it really multiplied itself when Brian was perfect. So when you have one child, myself, make mistakes, and no one else is doing it, it really stands out. Versus if all the kids get in trouble, then kind of balances out because now it's like, this is the standard. But Brian had the standard so high that everything was bad. So I was constantly, constantly in trouble. And well, I'll tell the story. So one time, what really shifted my perception, and again, as a child, it hit me, but I remember this to this day, was that we were driving toward, my dad was driving on a trip.
Yosemite. We were going camping that trip, but yeah. I blamed you and it was Brian.
Right. So we're on a trip, and
he already told me about this, yeah. I took my whipping.
So we're going on a trip, and Dad got out, and all of us, you know, to sit in the car and pretend driving, okay? So I get in this car, pretend driving, Brian, Dave gets in, and afterward, someone hit the trip meter, and Pastor asked, who hit the trip meter? Well, Dad at the time. And I said I didn't, everyone said I didn't, and Dad yells at me, assuming that I'm the one lying, that I did it. So yelling at me, and Brian eventually admits he did it. So in my point of mind, I finally have a situation of all the years that I was right, Dad was wrong, here comes the apology. Here comes, I'm sorry, you're right. And Dad turns to me and says, if you weren't lying so much, I would believe you. And at that point, I was like, there's no point anymore. There's no point. Even the moment I finally got my, you know, redemption, I finally proven that I'm right, I finally get my apology. Because before, you can't, even if you were right in the past, you can't prove it's my word, it's his word. So I finally have actual, you know, Alan, so I need actual proof. So I finally have actual tangible proof that I didn't do it. And that broke my spirit. At that point, I was like, you know what? Whatever is the right answer, whatever gives me trouble is the answer. So that helped answer your question?
Yeah, that made a lot of sense.
Okay. And you remember I told you about being spirit-led? It wasn't a spirit. I was mad.
Okay. And then, so what is the question? What got your spirit back?
Going back to church. Literally, it went back to us and the church part of it. So as we went back to church, and again, it was something I had to, again, expose more of the word that I had to fight with, because that was, again, my personality was, okay, it was so automatic that I had to, as the word got into me, I started realizing, wait, why am I even lying? I didn't have to lie at that point. That made no sense to lie. I could have just told the truth. I would have been okay. But I had to get old enough to realize that. So.
Last year.
Still working on it.
Still working on it.
high school in 2000. When we got to, again, and so for myself, again, if I realize that part of it, I make sure that I have a safe environment for my daughter. So when she does lie, because again, they're not going to test it, I try not to lie, but then I also go down and talk to her why not to, and always tell her, I love you. I think one thing that Pastor Anderson, Scott Anderson taught about.
Teach on parenting.
Right, and that helped a lot. That helped about how he always enforced it with love. No matter what the punishment is, always come back and I love you. And so that's one thing I think I look back of that. When I was punished, a lot of times I was like, you're punished, go to your room, go this, you're there for hours. So now I'm there for hours in punishment from my own mindset. And I created mine, created all different things of why I'm punished. My dad's evil, my dad's bad, Brian David are perfect, I'm not loved. All these things are festering because that's all got me in my mind. At that time, again, Pastor said, we weren't that much in the Word. So
you're saying after the punishment took place, it would have helped to have your dad go in and reinforce it with some positive love and explanation to the word.
Yes. Let me share something, because and I'm going to talk blanket because I can't give you know, it's confidential stuff, but I'm going to just give you some instances of what I've heard kids say to me. Not kids, even young people. Even older people who are reflecting back some of the issues. One, a lot of times it is fear of parents. They were afraid. You might think you're knocking on a door, but they hear it beating on the door. You might think, you're just a belt and they got spanked, but to them, they got beat. And if they already have, like, identity issues and they don't know who they are and they're wondering where they fit in and other things, too, and I want you guys to be mindful of something, too, as you're raising yours, raising Mexican kids in a white environment down in Temecula, okay? One of the challenges that we had is that we're a black family in Chino Hills, which is mostly Asian at the time. You know, and my son David, 8 of his best friends were Buddhist. I mean, they were Asian. I forgot what country or whatever. But my point is that then that identity thing, and as they're trying to, like, your sister is 15 and she's trying to figure things out. It's not just a house; it's society too. You want to provide a great environment. That's why you moved there. You got the nice house, safe neighborhood. Temecula was ranked number. It was high. I saw it. It made the top 20 list or something in the country. It made the list. Irvine, Temecula, Corona actually was the 13th safest one in 16, I think. So we want that for our kids, but then there are other things that we just may not consider that are impacting them, especially identity. Many of our kids don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. So that's why the Word of God is important too, so they will know who they are. That's crucial, because you had was that redhead girl you liked that wouldn't go out with you because her daddy would be mad. You remember that one? Okay, yeah. So it's like stuff like that, and so now he's getting rejected, you know. And people, he's a good looking kid, but you know, he's still black, you know. But her parents didn't believe that you had a degree. He had to actually take his diploma. I mean, it was just like the stuff that we just. So again, identity is really something. And remember, his biological father's not around. One time you did this to me. You came home from school. You were, you couldn't have been more than like second, it's probably like second grade. You looked at me like, if my hair was a little bit more, yeah. And you was just like looking at me. And I think you really begin to recognize, like, I don't look like him. He was looking for identity early on. So all those things matter. They really do. So that nourishing, that being there for them is going to be important. It's going to be important. We got one lady no longer here, and I don't think she'll ever come back. And she's black, but she's not from this country. And when she first moved to this country, she had a hard time with the black girls in South Central. And that is an issue with being in a black church. Is she still carrying that? Grown woman, successful, too. And you're talking to her, and she's just uneasy here. So she goes to a white church. And it's an identity thing. So it's real. So you got to look at all of those things. That's why we want to bring them up in the Word, who they are in Christ. What does the Word of God say about them? They got to know that. They got to know that. I really had it hard with Brian because Brian's dark. And every like group photo, he was the one. The man photo, he's the one. The drumline photo, he's the one. The newspaper journalism crew, he's the one. Yeah, I'm sorry, Marquita. I'm sorry, was it Mark? Martika, okay, where we at? Jonathan? Yeah, can we? Yeah. I know, Jackie's like, I know, baby. Now she ready to go. Say, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that it is important. I'm a mixed kid. I'm 7 things.
Really?
On my mom and my dad's side. And that was really hard for me because I didn't identify with anything. I was too many things. I was equally just as much Asian as I am Hispanic, as I am black, as I am Native American, as I am white. And I'm multiple different things in each category. So growing up, it was hard for me because my mom, my stepmother is African American, and she's darker than me, and I'm this super extra light-skinned kind of gal, and I don't look black. The idea of what black people think that black should look like. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't understand that growing up, so I never talked to her about those kinds of things. And my sister is going through the same thing because my sister is hers and my dad's, but she got my dad's skin complexion, so she's even lighter than me.
Okay.
And she's going through those same things, and we don't identify with my mom in those things, so she has to talk to me or my dad.
Yeah.
And it's...
it's tough.
It's tough. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's really important that you instill in your kids that culture is a surface. Culture is, yes, it's important and instills things, but being a human is more important.
Amen. And that's what I want to get back to. What does the word say? And that'll be a whole nother deal. Hey, next week, Prince Park is going to be here. And we got one more shot with him before he goes back to the field. And so it'll be next Wednesday night. It'll be right here. Okay, so just come prepared. Now, you're going to need notepad, pencils, dictionaries, thesauruses. You know how he is, okay? But it's going to be great next week. Let me pray us out, okay? Yes, Marge? I'm sorry. Wait. Here's the mic.
The reason why people use their phones is because we could go to all the different
translations
in the Bible.
Yeah, that's what Pastor, they were saying that too. So, yeah, I just want them to get in your heart. That's my main thing. We'll figure out the best way to do that. Amen. God in heaven, we're so grateful. Thank you for this time that we've had together. Lord, you want us to raise great and amazing and mighty kids. So I thank you. We will make decisions that...